Hello and welcome to the Commonweal Policy Podcast. I'm Craig Dale, I'm the Head of Policy and Research at Commonweal. Now, the last few years have been tough on social events for good and understandable reasons, but we are now starting to see things open up again, and this is starting to mean exciting things for Commonweal's campaigning as well. We've started to do in-person events again. It's been good seeing some people out in the road. But we have a really big one coming up this weekend as the entire team all gets together. Some of us meeting each other in person for the first time. But we are going to Doon the Rabbit Hole. Not on the main stage. We're not going out for a sing-along or a gig in any way. Nobody wants to hear me play the tuba. But we are going there as part of the Dooniversity, a ten of talks, workshops and other events curated by my guests this week, Commonweal's own Leo Plum and Caitlin Driver. Welcome to the two of you. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, grand. Cheers for having us on.
First, a very special welcome to Caitlin, who is our newest team member at Commonweal. Caitlin, welcome. It's been great working with you for the last couple of months and getting you settled in. But can you tell everyone, what are you doing with us? Why did you get into this world, mad world of politics? Why with us?
So I'm the Policy and Communications Coordinator, which is a new role within Commonweal. So I'm kind of somewhere in between policy and kind of social media communications. Kind of comes from what I started in marketing. And then during the pandemic, realised that I just couldn't market products I don't really care about, and I actually cared about politics, what was going on and the policy issues that was affecting Scotland. So yeah, the pandemic gave me an opportunity to stop, reset and go into this mad world of politics, and although it's a mad time, I think it's a really good time to get involved. There's so many changes and so many things that are happening that reminds us that everything shouldn't be taken for granted. I mean, even with Roe versus Wade right now, I just think it's a great time to get involved and start campaigning for what you want. And obviously, Commonweal's great because, I mean, I really believe that we need to go independent. So, yeah, that's why I'm here at Commonweal.
Yeah, I remember years ago speaking to a then work colleague who was thinking about going down the political activism route himself, and eventually just thought, you know, sometimes you just have to be the change that you want in the world. That kind of spurred him into it. But back to the world of festivals and music and social things and the things that normal people do. Leo, tell us about Doon the Rabbit Hole and the kind of people who'd be going to that. What's this event about?
Right, so Doon the Rabbit Hole is a fairly big festival. This year looks to have probably one of the best lineups in terms of music of all the Scottish festivals. So it's kicking off this week, starts on Thursday this week. And it's up just beyond Stirling in Doon. That's where the festival gets its name. Big bands, including quite a lot of sort of legendary Scottish headliners and others. And then there's a raft of other smaller bands or bands that are just emerging, and a pretty exciting mixture. So it's actually hundreds and hundreds of artists playing across the festival. It's grown from a festival, as I understand it. It was a bit of a sort of backyard one, and it's just doubled and doubled in size. I think a lot of people are very excited to get out in a big muddy field and stand in front of some big PA speakers and just get blasted and dance away the night. So that's the main sort of premise. It's a big music festival. It's got a bit of a reputation of being very chilled and relaxed, with a lot of very friendly folk going there. So it isn't your sort of transmit festival in Glasgow city centre. And I think the crowd, as I said, this year will definitely be along to try and enjoy themselves after what's been a tough couple of years. Going to expect to probably run into a lot of people that we know, I think, who are just heading along either for the day or for a couple of nights to enjoy it. So it's quite a family-friendly festival as well. So it's not just music. There's plenty of stuff for kids, plenty of entertainment for people, and good food, I hear, as well.
yeah, you might have guessed from my intro that I'm not a gigging person. I'm a little bit boring that way. So this is actually going to be a new experience for me. But there isn't just the music there, of course. There's other stuff going on. What is the Dooniversity, and why would a normal person who's going to a music festival take their time out from the music to come and listen to politics?
All right. Okay, well, I'm happy to give a quick summary of what Dooniversity is. Caitlin and I have been on the phone to quite a few people organising the contributors to it. So Dooniversity is basically one of the stages, one of the tents at this festival as well. Right, I should also say I'm also not a particularly gigging person. So so I'm calling it a stage or a tent. I mean, what Dooniversity is a particular part on site where people are going to be able to come along and listen to sort of educational entertaining talks from a range of different speakers. Caitlin, feel free to chip in and explain the event a bit more as well.
Yeah, well, I think if you like TED Talks, this is for you. I mean, there's a huge variety of different things. It's accessible to anyone. So I think if you're into TED Talks, you'll be into this tent.
We got asked to come along and organise the speakers for it. So we've taken to asking people to come along and talk on particularly really interesting sets of topics. Now, that ranges from kind of TED Talks where people be listening into particularly community projects that sprung up in parts of Scotland, social movements. We've got kind of climate activists doing talks, but we've also got, as Commonweal does quite well, a range of guest speakers on particular topics that look ahead to the kind of future that we'd want to see for Scotland. So we've got a really interesting array of people talking about, I suppose, climate and environment focused issues that Scotland face, and trying to present solutions that people could adopt and build in their own communities, as well as kind of motivation to try and get people much more involved in those things. But it doesn't stop at climate and environment. There's talks on education, on how we build our cities and architecture, and a range of other topics. And we've got workshops like where people will be able to come along and learn about how to fix objects that they've got at home, fix their own technologies. Got Living Rent come along talking about how to become a member of the tenants union and how to build power that way. A whole range of different things. So we're really excited to be asked to put the programmes together. And we're even more excited, I think, to just get along and listen to what all these different organisations and people have to say.
Can you take us through if someone's turning up in the first day, kind of what is the flavour of the programme on the first day of the university?
Right. Well, it's pretty varied. Sort of from the outset, we've got a range of speakers that are quite interesting. So the first night we've got Rhea Lang.
Sorry, yeah. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to redo that question because it sounded awful.
Go for it, mate, yeah. And also, Caitlin, yes, I'll do the first bit and I'll get to Midway Saturday. And
yeah, then I'll take over.
So if that's the general theme, can you take us through the programme over the 3 days and just give us, not necessarily everyone who's going to be speaking, but a flavour of what people will see if they're dropping by?
Cool, yeah. Well, we've got a real range of different speakers, and there's a little bit of something for everyone at this, I think. Some of the top kind of picks of things that I'm really excited to hear about. There's a first night we've got Rhea Lang and Joey Simons talking about activism and art. So their basic premise is looking back at important social movements. Joey's done a lot of research on a history of rioting in Glasgow. And Rhea is currently working on a project to document the Lee Jeans factory sit-in, which is in the west of Scotland, in Greenock, a factory where women occupied that building. So they're looking at kind of social histories. Straight after them, I think we've got a couple of youth climate activists talking about why young people should get involved in campaigning for climate change and building links across the movement. We've also got, I mean, that night we're finishing off with Kevin P. Gilday, who's a Scottish poet. So we're hitting up some poetry and stand-up that night, which will give a flavour of what's to come in part of the Edinburgh Fringe later on. And moving on to Saturday, we've got some organisations that have always been doing really good work out to speak to people about their campaigns. So that includes Revive, who'll be touching on their campaigns around ending grouse shooting and grouse moor reform. Remade Network, that I mentioned before, they'll be the ones who are making a big plug for people to get into fixing their own technology at home. And I suppose that ties into a circular economy, something you, Craig, know plenty about as well. We're really excited to welcome along a lot of new speakers, people that we haven't worked with before at Commonweal, as well as some old favourites as well. So that's up to sort of midway on the Saturday, but it runs right through to the end of the weekend. So Caitlin, do you want to give us some highlights from the other days?
Yep. So on ending on Saturday, we've got Caroline King. So she's kind of done her PhD on how vinyl is bought in the UK. So I think that'll be a really interesting talk called Who Buys Vinyl? Then obviously we've got our very own Craig here doing what is circular economy? Sure to be a really good one.
Everybody gets it wrong.
No, it's going to be a really good one. And ending on the Saturday, which I think will be epic, is Kathy Mazzulla. So she jumping on the Stranger Things bandwagon. She's kind of doing a dance workshop on Kate Bush's Hounds of Love. So that should be pretty epic. Then moving on to Sunday, we've got Stella Rooney. So she's done a documentary about working women in Dundee and how the past is influencing the future. We've got Craig Murray, who's obviously got the very interesting blog. He's doing Past Independence. Moving on from them, we've got Asylum Monologues Scotland. So I think that'll be a very good one. It's a spoken word performance from UK asylum seekers and their experiences. And yeah, as Leo mentioned, we've also got Living Rent Scotland Tenants Union. So yeah, there's lots going on, a variety for everyone.
And of course, completely selfishly, as we were asked to put this together, we couldn't resist putting a few Commonweal speakers up there as well. So if folk are really interested in Commonweal, what will they hear from us at the university?
Right. Well, keeping right in tow with our current campaign, that's Our Common Home, the Green New Deal proposal for Scotland. We're going to have Robin McAlpine obviously pitching that big time to whoever will listen and trying to bring people involved in that campaign as well. We've got obviously yourself, Craig, as we mentioned. We've got some real key supporters, people who've helped to develop our policy around the National Care Service. So they're going to be there. So that's what we call our care reform group. And obviously that's been a piece of work this year that has got a lot of attention and has got a lot of people talking about the changes that are needed. So even given some of the more recent announcements on policy in Scotland, they're going to be there to talk about why we need a radical or a very, very comprehensive national care service and why we need to push that agenda. But we've also got some key kind of favourite talks that tie very much into what Commonweal are doing as well. So we've got Malcolm Fraser talking about building a social Scotland. So how we can redesign our cities and our buildings to give us more social spaces and places to interact and generate more of a kind of positive cultural life, which we all want. Really excited to announce that Leslie Riddick has come along as well. I forgot to mention that before. So she's got a really interesting and mysterious title, which is Scotland's Missing Huts, again, on kind of housing and accommodation in the tourism sector. So I just forgot to plug that. I think that's an important one. Anything I've missed? You guys know it as well as I do. Who's coming from the Commonweal crowd?
Well, I will add that Leslie, beyond the university, Leslie is also going to be working with us on a current project on land reform. We will be responding to the Scottish Government's land reform consultation and we'll be encouraging as many people as possible to get their own consultation responses into that, because it is really vital that we finally get some movement on that. So there's going to be an event on Monday with Leslie and Andy Whiteman, and there's going to be an event at the end of the month again with those two for Commonwealth activists. I'll put links to for information to both of those events in the description of the podcast.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But if we get back to the university, it's not going to be all work for all of us. We're going to get a bit of time, hopefully, for all of us to go and explore and have some fun. So the two of you, who are you hoping to see on stage, and who are you really wanting to sit in the audience at the university and listen to?
Oh, I mean, there's so many to sit in at a university, but I mean, the musical acts, I think Amy McDonald, that's number one for me on the Friday night. And then Saturday, Belle and Sebastian. I think those will be the ones I want to hit up. But I mean, obviously I'll be going to all of Commonweal's ones, of course, all of their talks in university. But I'll definitely be finishing off on Saturday with Kathy Missoula's Kate Bush experience. I think that'll be one to go to.
That'll be an absolute cracker, dancing away into the night. Yeah, I think this is going to be my first festival with my son. He's very young. He's going to be turning 3 pretty soon. So look, I'm going to be bouncing about between Commonweal's stage, where I expect and I hope to learn loads of new stuff. And I'm going to go along to stuff that I can dance late to, if I can keep him on my shoulders late enough. Mm-hmm. So there's a few bands that I really like. Nubian Twist is one that my girlfriend and I have followed for a while. They're great. We've got some quite oddball kind of indie bands like Varmdusha, a random name, but really excited to see them. And there's a few friends I've got who are playing in bands as well that I can't wait to go see. So for pals in Free Love and Sacred Pause, who are playing, also really good for a big jump about, and a pal called Astronomic, who's a rapper. I can't wait to see him too. But on the whole thing of a kid-friendly event, there's also some really cool stuff for the kids. So look, I don't know what a unicorn dance party is, but that's happening. Someone needs to fill me in. I saw the picture for that and just thought, yeah, okay, let's get along to that. There's also, like, you know, Singing Kettle, and this old guy, this old geezer, Mr. Boom, who seems to have been doing the circuit for a long time. He's one of them guys who plays guitar as a harmonica and like one of them drums on his backpack. So, you know, catch me there kicking back with the good old folk stuff for kids as well.
Yeah, I might even go to the Singing Kettle. That was my childhood.
Mine too, come to think of it. No, I think I'll keep my music preferences. I'll invoke presenter's privilege on that one and not spoil the mystery for the audience, because really my music tastes are not conventional. I am looking forward to a few of the speakers. Some of the good friends of Commonweal, like Malcolm Fraser, like Leslie Riddick, are going to be well worth listening to. But yeah, I think I'll be trying to get as much there as I can, because it's important that these political messages get out and get out into the public. Is a music festival the best way of doing that, though?
No. I guess I feel like at the moment, engaging people around political activity, getting them thinking and talking is really key. Everybody knows that in their heart when they think about it. So festival is as good a place as any, but I think really what we should have in our minds for this coming year is trying to get out and energize people around political movements and campaigning at whatever capacity they want, and we should do that in as many places as we can. So I know that Commonweal are looking ahead to the summer in terms of getting along to events as part of the independence movement, but I'm also kind of excited to get some local events near me. I've just been looking at the Govan Hill Carnival in Glasgow as well. Pretty diverse carnival and a good place to meet lots of people, including I think young people. So yeah, as things are, we all know that politics is has felt very stagnant, and then all of a sudden a rush of hypocrisy and a kind of rampage of idealism. But I think what we need more than anything is to actually try and cohere together a little bit. So, you know, that's an easy, very sort of wishy-washy message for me on that. What do you think, Caitlin?
Yeah, well, I think this music festival, particularly down the rabbit hole, as you were saying, it's quite a chilled setup. So the tent is quite open. It's easy for people to walk past and they can join in, listen to what's being said. So I think it's a really good setting for it. And it's not just kind of untouchable academics, lecturing people. It's, real solutions for real problems that are affecting, people that will be attending. So I think it's a great place for people to get involved and listen to what's being said.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think there'll be a strong appetite for this as well. People are going to want to enjoy themselves. And as part of that, it's about building on ideas and people actually sharing their own ideas too. So it's a good time for it.
And let's face it, art is inherently a political act. All artists have a message behind the art they're producing, and that goes no less for the folk on stage. We might not be speaking the same message, but that's good too, because we'll have all of those voices for everyone there.
Yeah, I think, I would completely agree with that. I think art gives us art, music, performance, whatever it might be. It gives you a chance to kind of view things from a different point, but it gives us a different set of tools to actually attack some of the more material problems that we face as well. We just need new ways of looking at it a little bit. And just as Caitlin was saying, that's why people need to live that experience in the now a little bit.
And I think music has always been the center's focus for political change and social change. It's always been there. Anything that's happening, quite often music does play a part in it. So I think a music festival is actually quite a good setting for it to continue.
Now, away from the festival and back to the overtly political, the UK is going through a moment of intense turmoil. I really feel sorry for our colleague Nicola, who's been busy trying to write a letter for our weekly newsletter and has had to rewrite it twice because by the time she's finished it, something else has happened and it's rendered her message obsolete. I dread to think what's happened to mine in the time we've taken to record this podcast. Give me your thoughts on what's going on down south, the ongoing Tory leadership contest, and what it might mean for Scotland independence, etc. Leo.
Right, yeah, it's hard not to sort of gasp or just give a massive sigh on thinking about it. Look, a lot is changing. The current Tory leadership race was obviously snapped into action very, very quickly, and a lot of the listeners are going to have a much better idea of what's going on even than I think I do. I've tried to tune out a little bit to what's going on, but I think for me the key kind of drivers that are very, very visible is, well, firstly, the people who are standing for the leadership, who are trying to distance themselves from Boris, and the various points in his reign where things have really hit the fan. And I mean, that's one thing, but you've also got those who are kind of very much pushing a Thatcherite position, and it's pretty troubling to see that coming back to the fore in some people's campaigns, thinking of Liz Truss in particular. But even those who've tried to distance themselves from Boris by trying to somehow claim that they weren't involved in some of the backroom deals of stuff are absolutely complicit in a lot of benefiting from the changes that they've forced in. So whether that's sort of benefiting from contracts and deals that happened during the pandemic, or the sort of privatization of the NHS and that kind of thing, I think trying to turn people's attention to say that they haven't been complicit in what the Tory party's been doing now for decades is completely unfair. And in that last example, I'm thinking of Jeremy Hunt and others like him. So yeah, people who are trying to keep their distance, and those people who are trying to sort of force a Thatcherite view, which is extremely problematic. I think in Scotland, that particular ideology of you work really hard and what you contribute to the economy puts you in a better standing, is particularly important because we need to acknowledge that a lot of Scottish politics also taxed into that as well. And we can't pretend to be completely out of that vein of politics through those elected representatives that we see here. So I think it's going to be really important for people to put forward ideas for a kind of Scotland that looks way beyond that and calls out some of the hypocrisy that exists here as well.
Reminded of a joke of a boss showing off a new sports car to one of his workers and saying, now, if you work really hard and put in some overtime and really keep going with what you're doing, I'll be able to buy another one next year.
Yeah,
Caitlin, exactly. Any thoughts from yourself on how things are going down south?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what Leo's saying, and I've tried not to look too much into it in a sense, but I mean, when Jacob Rees-Mogg said just the day before Boris resigned, he said it's business as usual. And I was just like, yeah, and that's the ironic part, because it is business as usual within the Tory government right now. But I mean, there's some concerning things happening, as Leo was saying about, you know, the Thatcherism coming in with the new Bill of Rights. That really concerns me. And people pushing more against the rights, and Suella Braverman wanting to take us out completely of the European Commission of Human Rights. I mean, yeah, it's really concerning. Hopefully we'll be able to push for independence next year for the referendum. But yeah, it's quite concerning what's happening, I think.
It was hinted today that today was Boris Johnson's last PMQs as the Parliament drifts towards recess and he'll be resigning after the leadership contest. Will any of you miss Boris?
Have we seen the back of him? I mean, we thought we'd seen the end of Rishi Sunak. What was it, like a week ago or whatever? Do you know what I mean? And now he's in the leadership race. I won't miss him particularly, but I really enjoyed watching things like the kind of leadership debate in a 2019 general election. I remember being in a pub watching it. He made for an easy opponent if you have radical ideas. And what I'd want is any opposition parties, any opposition speakers or opposing movements to be able to roll hard against the ideas that some of the potential leadership candidates now are putting forward. And how easy that will be within the sort of mysterious world of politicians talking about what kind of economics we should be planning is less easy to see. With Boris, it was easy because he often would take a kind of underhand approach to those kind of debates. Whereas I worry about what the current Conservative government is going to try and present as an economic future, and how people build an opposition against that makes sense to ordinary people. I hope that makes sense, what I've said there.
Caitlin, is that a worry of yourself, that perhaps the replacement to Boris could be the same or worse politics, but in the guise of perhaps a competent politician?
Yeah, I possibly think it could be worse. I think I was not a fan of Boris, and I wouldn't say I'm going to miss him at all. Maybe his crazy haircuts, but that's just about it. But yeah, I think the economic deal, the Green Deal, could how we're going to approach climate change could actually be worse. There were some things that he brought through that for climate change were actually maybe quite out there compared to, you know, the ones that are going for leadership now that perhaps wouldn't have come in. But yeah, I think it could actually be worse. I don't see it getting better anyway.
Well, I don't like ending the podcast on an unhappy note. So I'll take us back to Down the Rabbit Hole and Down University. And Leo, can you finish it off? Just tell us how people can find out more about these two events, how find out where we will be during the festival so they can come and find us.
Grand, yeah. If you need to tune out of contemporary politics and just be thinking about what else is going on around Scotland. All right, so this you can still get tickets, as far as I know. Weekend and day tickets through Doing the Rabbit Hole website, which is just doingtherabbithole.co.uk. they're also doing a lot on social media to talk about what's going on at each individual stage. And part of it's because they are quite excited about the music and the other forms of entertainment, like speaks and stuff. So you'll be able to look out and find out about what's happening at the Dooniversity stage where we're at. So social media is a good place to head to, as is the Commonweal social media, because we're going to be trying to put out some updates of what we're up to as well. Look, this weekend's going to go pretty quickly, and there'll be plenty more festivals as well happening across the summer. But as you've said, Commonweal's also going to be doing plenty of different events. So we want people to tune into what we're doing. And it's also important, I think, to know that we work pretty hard as a team to make interesting ideas brought to different kinds of communities and in different settings. So look, we're going to be enjoying ourselves at doing the rabbit hole, and then we're going to be straight on to the next forms of campaigning next week. And we want everybody to get involved. So just basically, I would say, get in touch with us if you actually want to do something with Commonweal this summer.
And I will put links to the Dune Rabbit Hole website at the bottom of this, the description to this podcast. Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Caitlin, for joining me on the show. It's been a great chat, and I hope to get you back on to talk more Commonweal or talk more about policies in general in the near future.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll finish off the podcast, as I always do, by reminding folk that Commonweal is entirely dependent on our donors and supporters to do everything that we do. We don't get government money, we don't have corporate sponsorships, we don't have fancy advertising deals with rock bands throwing money at us or anything like that. We don't even have adverts on our website. So everything we do is completely dependent on our listeners who keep us going. If you'd like to join us as one of our supporters, there's a donate button in the description to this podcast. All the money from that goes into promoting our, helping to develop our policies, helping to promote those policies, and helping us to put on events like the things we're going to be doing over the summer. So please, if you can support us, I know times are difficult. If you can, we deeply appreciate it. We encourage everyone to come along to everything that we're doing over the summer. And I especially encourage you to come back to the Policy Podcast next week.